want to take my singing time just to brag on the Lord tonight.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I was trying to tell Crystal a while ago, the Lord's just been pouring it out on me lately. And I was telling Brother Junior, I started to tell Crystal, you know, it all started the other day when I was cleaning out my truck, but I got stopped right there. It all started, and I thought it all started about 20 years ago. The Lord saw fit to pull me out of the mess I was in. And I just, when I was cleaning out my truck the other day, I traded my truck on a car. And when I was cleaning out my truck the other day, I started seeing memories of things and some things the Lord brought me through. And I don't know if you ever get attached to a vehicle, but I did. You know, I do. Old pickup truck. And I started pulling stuff out from under the seat. And I pulled out that thing where I graduated from that program I was in over there. And I thought about all the little things the Lord's brought me through. And I'd begin to think about this song I was going to sing about these disciples, you know, and the Lord showing up in their life. And you know how the Lord just shows up in your life, you know? I mean, it's personal, you know? And I sat there and cried like a baby for about an hour on the couch today and hid my head in my shirt and just thanked Him for being good to me. And He's just so sweet. And the Lord is so good. And I promise you, you ain't never gave Him nothing that He didn't deserve. And you ain't never gave up nothing to Him that you'll ever regret. But I pray this is a blessing. I don't know. I'm going to try to do this right here. I got all kind of stuff tangled up here, but you pray for me. Their heads were low. Steps were slow as they walked along that old Emmaus road. Their man appeared as he drew near. They said, "Why are you so sad? Are things really that bad?" They said, "Sir, have you not heard? You must be a stranger in this town. For the one who came in the Father's name, he has been cut down. They laid his body ground." As they walked and talked, he began to explain about this Jesus and why he came. He opened the scriptures and began to teach. That old preacher of preachers began to teach that in the wilderness the children there had nothing to eat, and manna from heaven fell down at their feet. They were dry and thirsty in a foreign land. Living water came forth out of a rock in the sand. When the three Hebrew children were thrown in the flame, a fourth man appeared and they called him by name. The man of the water, the man are all the same. If you're still confused, let me make this real plain. It was me. He'll show up. It was me. I'm the one who died on Calvary. It was me. Now who do you think put the stars in the sky? Who do you think made the day and the night? Who made the flowers? Who made the trees? Who made the sun and the moon and the seas? Who gives life to all who believe? Think made the blind man to see? Who made this very air that you breathe? Conquered the grave and won the victory? It was me. It was me. I'm the one who died for you at Calvary. It was me. Loved you when no one else would, who saved you. when no one else could. It was me.
Hallelujah. Amen. Who do you think it was taking care of you all them years?
Amen.
That's who it was. Amen. All right. Amen. All right, now listen. Especially young people. Want a youth activity? Okay. We're going to have a cookout prayer meeting Saturday night for all the young people and anybody who wants to come. You want a steak? Anybody want a steak? We'll go take the big grill out there. And we'll fix your steak. You bring it. So go to the store and get what you want. And like we do every year, we'll have some hot dogs and stuff. And we'll cook out there about 6 o'clock Saturday evening. And then we're going to come in here and have a prayer meeting for youth rally and practice some songs. So all young people, everybody, anybody really, don't have to be young people. Anybody wants to. You just want to do something Saturday night. What we're trying to do, get everybody all excited about the youth rally. We did this several times in last year, year before, and it's a lot of fun. So you can bring the whole family. Bring you, if you'd rather have treat meat on the grill, that'll work. Treat, Spam, other redneck dishes like that, roadkill. But, you know, if you want to be a little more exotic, bring bologna, good. Or maybe, you know, move on up to hamburger if you're rich. And steak, if you're a thief. But 6 o'clock, Saturday evening. All right, let's open the Bible to John chapter 1. I'm going to tell you a story tonight, so kids, listen. Bible story tonight, John chapter 1. Somebody told me not long ago, they said, Brother Danny, I'd love it when you just get up there and tell us a Bible story. And you can't beat the Word of God. And so that's what I'm going to do tonight, John chapter 1. I'm going to tell you about one of the greatest men, if not the greatest man in the Bible outside the Lord Jesus Christ. If you ask who's the greatest man in the Bible besides Jesus, people would say Abraham, people would say David, people would say Moses, people would say Paul. But Jesus said, there is not a greater man born of woman than John the Baptist. John the Baptist. Isn't that something? Most people would not even mention his name if you ask him who the greatest man in the Bible outside of Jesus was. John the Baptist. Look at this. John chapter number 1 and look at verse number 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now I want to preach on that tonight. A man sent from God. A man sent from God. You don't choose the ministry. You are chosen for the ministry. There is nowhere in the Bible where there is a call to be a singer. There's nowhere in the Bible where there's a call to be a deacon. There's not even anywhere in the Bible where there's a call to be a pastor. A church calls a pastor. A church chooses deacons. A person sings because they feel maybe a burden for the Lord to do it. There is a call to the ministry. There's a call to preach. There's a call to be a preacher of the gospel. You don't choose the ministry. You are chosen for the ministry. Somebody said one time, some were called, some were sent, some just packed up and went. Amen? That's right. There's an old saying says, many are cold and few are frozen. That's what some church's favorite verse is. But I believe tonight that God calls certain men to be in the ministry. I believe that. I believe God puts a calling on a man's life and He chooses that man for a ministry for God. If that man don't do it, it will not get done. Do you hear me? His job will not get done. There's nobody in the world can do your job but you. There's nobody in the world can do my job but me. If I don't do my job won't get done. You don't do your job won't get done. When God called Jonah to preach over there in Nineveh, and Jonah run the other way, God let Nineveh sit there till Jonah got right and done his job. He didn't drown Jonah and call somebody else. He had Jonah for that job. God has a job. The Lord never made a possum. He didn't have a tree for him to climb. The Lord never made a rabbit. He didn't have a hole for him to run in. And the Lord never called a preacher that he didn't have something for him to do and call the ministry. Now, I believe tonight that the call to the ministry is the highest calling on this earth. There is no greater or higher calling in the world than a man that be called to stand and preach God's Word. No other calling like it. You'd have to step down. We've had several men who say they're preachers run for president. I'd be like Jesse Jackson, Mike Huckabee, some of them guys say they're preachers. Listen, you'd have to step away down from the ministry to become the president of the United States. Amen? It is a call from the Lord. I do believe that there's a lot of men trying to pastor a church that have no business pastoring a church. I believe there's a lot of men trying to pastor a church that their calling is to help somebody else do it, like Aaron did Moses, like other men did. That's not my business to choose, though. It's between them and God. But that's a personal feeling. I believe there's a lot of men, businessmen, who can make a lot of money and support missionaries and get people saved, but somehow got under conviction, thought they was called to preach, and wound up in a so-called ministry that never did do nothing. I just observation. I don't know. But anyway, the Bible does not say there was a committee sent from God. The Bible does not say there was a group sent from God. Bible does not say there was a church sent from God. The Bible said there's a man sent from God. When God wants to do something, He calls a man to get that job done. And then He gives a group of people to go with that man to get the ministry accomplished. He did it in the Old Testament, always did. A committee is the group of the unprepared who are unqualified to do the unnecessary, who read the minutes and waste hours. Somebody said, a camel is a horse that was put together by a Baptist committee. You can get in more trouble having a committee. I know churches, they got a committee for every little old thing in the world, and there's no such thing as that in the Bible at all. There's two offices in the local church in the Bible. There's pastor and deacon. The word pastor and bishop and overseer, it's all about the same office in the New Testament. And so the Bible said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, let me say a few things about this man. I'm going to tell you his story. He was the first cousin of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary's cousin Elizabeth found out she was with child, and he was 6 months ahead of Jesus. So John the Baptist in the flesh was the cousin of Jesus Christ. And he came preparing the way. He was God's bulldozer. He came to make the path straight. And John the Baptist, when he come preaching one day, and the Bible said that he come out of the wilderness, and he had his clothes was leather girdle and camel's hair, and he ate locust and wild honey. Are you listening to me, kids? I mean, this was a man's man. There wasn't a sissy bone in this man's body. Old John the Baptist was one of the toughest characters in the Bible. He was a picture of, and even depending on how you look at it, of incarnation almost of Elijah the prophet in the Old Testament. And old John the Baptist, he came in the spirit and power of Elijah. And Elijah was a tough character. I mean, he wasn't one of these little soft FM, little soft-spoken sissy boys like you hear now. I mean, old John the Baptist, brother, he'd come out of there, he'd pull out a locust like that, and I probably wasn't even dead because it's fresher, and just bit the head off of it, and that was his lunch, and had chocolate-covered locust with whipped cream on them for dessert. And brother, I tell you, he had on a leather girdle. Don't let it fool you. He had on the right kind of a girdle. It was a man's man girdle. What in the world that ever was? But he had one on. And old John the Baptist came out preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and he came out preaching. Now let me give you a rundown of how God called preachers in the Bible. In Exodus chapter 6 and verse 11, God told Moses, go. He told Moses. It wasn't Moses' idea. Moses didn't volunteer. God called Moses. In the book of Judges chapter 7 and verse 3, God spoke to Gideon and said, go, proclaim in the ears of the people. In 1 Kings 21:18, God told Elijah, arise and go to Ahab. See, it's God's doing. It's God's doing. None of these men come and said, Lord, you need me to do anything? The Lord said, go. You go, you go, you go, and chose his men to preach the word of God. In Isaiah 6 and verse 9, God told Isaiah, go, tell this people. In Isaiah 58 and verse 1. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4, God said, before I formed thee in the belly, I sanctified you, I ordained you. God called Jeremiah to preach before he was ever born. God had a man come up and tell me one time, he said, Danny, you was born to preach. And I said, well, I don't know. I appreciate the compliment. I hope I was. I believe that God, when I was a little kid, I used to walk around before I ever got saved. And I remember thinking, I'm going to do something one of these days. I'm going to do something to change the world. I remember thinking that when I was little. I don't know if that was the Lord dealing with me. I don't know about all that, how all that works. I've heard preachers say they knew when they was out high they was called to preach. I don't know. But I do remember when I was little and Mom going through the house, she was singing. She put the Bible in my heart. She put the fear of God in my heart. And I remember thinking, I'm not like other people. I remember thinking that. I'm going to do something one of these days. I had no idea God was going to save me and call me to preach and put me in the ministry. But I do know this. He did them men in the Bible. In Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 3, God said, Son of man, I send thee to Israel. In Jonah chapter 1 and verse 2, God told Jonah, go and preach to Nineveh. In Matthew 28 verse 19, the Lord told his disciples, go. In all the world. In Acts chapter 9, God told Paul, go. So God puts a man in the ministry. And that's what he did to John. And we see here that old John came this day, one day, and he come preparing the way of the Lord. And he come down on the riverbank, and he said, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And everybody got to one, they said, who in the world's that fella? Man, he's rough. He didn't go to seminary. Where'd he get his degree? You can't tell us we're lost and going to hell. And he said, they said, are you the Christ? He said, no, I'm not. And he said, but I'm telling you what, he's coming just around the bend. He'll be here shortly. And he said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He didn't try to make a name for himself. He didn't try to say, I'm a big shot. Everybody look at me. You know, if God's ever going to bless you, you got to get rid of that pride. Did you know pride will keep God from you? You ever seen a preacher get up and he's full of pride? You ever seen a singer get up and they just, the whole time they're singing, they'll think, look how good I can do. Ain't I wonderful? That just kills it. Really. Old John looked at it. He said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. He said, I'm just a friend. I ain't nothing. He said, I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. He said, but he that cometh after me is greater than me. He said, I'm not worthy. I had to get down and put tie sandals. He said, he's coming. And if you don't repent, you ain't going to heaven when you die. And I'm telling you what, they repented. And old John took them down there and baptized them under repentance. Baptized them under repentance. Putting them in the Jordan River. Well, the story went on. And the story got bad there when Herod's birthday was come. And old John got in there to preach one day. I'll tell you a little bit more about that story in a minute. But I want to tell you tonight, quickly, there's three things that a preacher has to do. I know we probably don't have about maybe three or four preachers here tonight beside me, but some of you young men, God may have his hand on you. God may want to call some of you young men to preach if you'll surrender to him. Don't fight it. Don't say no to it. If God's calling you to preach, do it. If he ain't, don't do it. But if he is, get with it, brother. Get with it and get the job done. Now tonight, I want to say there's three things you got to decide. You have to make up your mind. Three things when God called you to preach. I said it a long time ago. Number one, a preacher must make up his mind what he's going to preach. He's got to make up his mind what he's going to preach. They said many years ago at this big fancy downtown church, there's a big fancy church in this city. In that congregation that morning, there were thousands of people in this big, cold, dead, liberal church. They said in that service that morning, there was a young banker. And that guy had had some business deals go wrong. And he was embezzling money and stealing money from his own bank. He was in trouble, but he said he got up that morning and he said, you know what? I'm going to try to get my life straightened out. He went to that church that morning. There was also in that service that morning a businessman. His business had gone flat, and he had all these bills come in, and he didn't know what he's going to do. He had no idea. He's thinking about committing suicide. But he said, before I commit suicide, I'm going to go to church tomorrow morning. He was in that service that morning, in that same service. There was also a beautiful young lady in that service who had been offered a tremendous amount of money to go into a life of prostitution and pornography and that kind of lifestyle. And before she made a decision, she also was in that service that morning. Thousands of people, the unsuccessful businessman, the stealing banker, and the young lady who had been offered a lot of money to sin. They was all in that congregation that morning. And the preacher got up that morning and he stood there trying to please all the big shots in the congregation and gave about a 20-minute nonsense message on life on other planets and how that we love the stars and see the moon and stuff like that. Absolute liberal. That's what he preached that morning. And you've already guessed it. That unsuccessful businessman took a gun and blew his brains out. That banker went to prison for 20 years and the young lady sold her life into a life of sin. All because a man stood behind the pulpit and didn't have nothing fit to listen to. Had nothing fit to say. I'm going to tell you something this morning or this evening. It does make a difference where you go to church. It does make a difference what the man in the pulpit said. Listen, if I go to church, I want my kids to hear it. Gun barrel straight, heaven sweet, hell hot, and brother, there's just one way to get there. Listen, old John made up his mind. This is what I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach repentance or hell. I'm going to preach, turn to Jesus Christ or you'll burn in the lake of fire. Brother, his mind was made up. It was settled. He made up his mind what he's going to preach. Lord, have mercy. You're like Peter. What's that time? Old Peter looked at that guy in the book of Acts and he looked at him like that. And Peter looked up and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. You know what scares me? Like this morning. This morning, there's no telling who was in here this morning. There's no telling. I mean, this place was full. There's no telling how many. I don't know who was in here this morning. There was people in here from every walk. There might have been somebody in here this morning that was their last shot. That's why I took time and I made plain the plan of salvation. And I went through. I wanted them to know, brother, they might die, but I don't want their blood on my hand. I want to tell them. I want to tell them there's a God. I want to tell them there's hope. I want to tell them there's real life for reason for living. I want to tell them there's somebody greater than you and I. Hallelujah, brother. Man got to make up his mind what he's going to preach. I made up my mind when I was 19 years old that was the right book and I was going to preach what it said. And brother, I've been preaching all these years and I still believe that's the right book and I'm going to preach what it says. If it said there's a bottomless pit, then I'm going to say there's a bottomless pit. If it said there's an Antichrist coming and the mark of the beast, I'm going to say there's an Antichrist coming and the mark of the beast. If it said there's a hell where the smoke goes up forever and ever, I'll say there's a hell. I know it's not popular. I know preachers don't mention it no more. I know church people laugh about it. But a man's got to make up his mind what he's going to preach. And I believe that. Amen. So it'll get you in trouble. I've been in trouble before. I've come too far to change now. I've done preached it. I've done seen Him answer my prayers. I've done seen God move. I ain't going to change what I believe now. Man got to make up his mind what he's going to preach. By the way, he was not John the Methodist. I didn't write it. I'm preaching it. He was not John the Presbyterian. He was not John the Pentecostal. He was not John the Church of God. He was not John the Church of Christ. It was not John, the Christian Scientist. It was not John the Catholic. It was not John the non-denominationalist. It was not John the Worship Center. It was John the Baptist. It is good enough for him. It ought to be good enough for us. And all God's people said, Lord, we need some amen practices around here. You know what's wrong with y'all? You only say amen when you feel it. You ought to say amen when it's the truth. On the count of three, one, two, three. Amen.
Thank you, thank you. You sometimes you just sit there like this, and you must be listening. Maybe that's a compliment, and I appreciate it. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. Say amen to the truth. It was John the Baptist. What's that? I didn't write it. My job's preached. You said, what are you saying? I ain't saying nothing except what the Bible says. You got a problem with that? I ain't. Don't bother me a bit. They said one time, man said this certain time, he said, now, if you go into a Methodist church or a Lutheran church and they baptize you, you're a Methodist. If you go into other churches, they baptize you in a Pentecostal, you're a Pentecostal. If they baptize you into a church of God, you become a church of God. If you're baptized by a Baptist, in a Baptist church, you become, that's what the word Baptist means. It means immerse. Immerse. To put under and bring up. It's a picture of his death. There's nowhere in the Bible where people sprinkle people. See, in a Methodist church, they'll sprinkle you. That ain't scriptural. In a Presbyterian church, like Burger King's, have it your way. You can do it either way. In a Baptist church, we immerse you, put you under the water. That's what Baptist means. Baptist. You say, well, they're all denominations. No, they're not. I'm telling you, no, they're not. Baptist is distinct. And if you're baptized by a Baptist, what does that make you? A Baptist. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. I didn't write it. I'm just preaching it. You lucked up and got hooked up with the right group, and some of you didn't even know it. There's a stretch of Bible-believing preachers that goes from me right back to my fathers in the ministry, through them old men of God, through Joe Parson, back to J. Frank Norris, back to the old preachers, that goes all the way back to New Testament time. We're in good company tonight. Thank God we got the real thing. We got the right book and the right Word of God. Man got to make up his mind what he's going to preach. Amen. Once in a while, you just need to be reminded of that. You are hooked up with the right group and didn't even know it, some of you. Man got to make up his mind what he's going to preach. You see, John, he done pretty good till one day he got in to see the king. And it just so happened that the king had messed around and took his own brother's wife. Now there's your woman with two living husbands. She was married, said he had married her. You don't see a woman with two living husbands? There's no such phrase as that in the Bible. There ain't no such thing unless you're married to two men. She had two husbands, Herod and his brother. And John came in one day and he got an audience with the king. And he'd been down there on the riverbank preaching all of them sinners and getting them saved down there, right and left. And somebody called over here and said, now look, come here, Brother John. Now before you go in to see the king, we need to have a little seminar here. Dr. Preacher told me one time, told me at a camp meeting at Nebo, he said, Danny, he said, you really got the makings of a great preacher. He said, what you need to do is go to one of these schools. He said, get some of them rough edges knocked off of you. They want you to be smooth. You know, sand you down like that. That's what he told me. He said, I needed the rough edges knocked off of me. That's what they told John. They said, now look, John, that old repentance and that hellfire and all that stuff, that goes good down here on the riverbank with these old trashy people like you. Now don't go in there to the king. He's big. He's a big shot. He runs the whole country. You can't go in there telling him stuff like that. Well, John said, appreciate the advice, boys. Pray for me. He came walking in there that day. There sat King Herod up there. He pointed that old bony finger out at him and he said, it is not lawful for thee to have her. And the king said, you got it. And you know what? You know what that Bible said? That Bible said that king respected John. He did. Herod feared John. He knew he was right. Listen, we don't help ourselves when we compromise the gospel to please a bunch of big shots. Lord, I know preachers that just to try to get rich people to come will cut it here and cut it there and cut this out. And don't say that. Don't get out behind the pulpit. You know what they say? You're not even supposed to sit up here and show your socks. Lord, I don't know. I guess I've done that. I wore two different colors. I wore two different shoes. I almost come to church in two different colors. I had a brown one and a black, and I thought, well, which one of these looks the best? And I got to getting around, and I come to hire leaving like that. But anyway, you're not supposed to do like that. But anyway, this he come in there, he said, it's not lawful for thee to have her. And old King Herod, he sort of put his head down, and he went like that, and he thought, Lord, he's right. Now, Herodias, she didn't take it too good. That woman was full of the devil. Buddy, a man's in trouble when he goes rebuking them wicked women, and she got it in for him. Isn't it amazing how that Bible still fits in modern day time? Boy, oh boy, Herodias swelled up, look at right there. She said, you'll not talk to me like that. You ain't going to call me no sinner. It ain't nothing. I'll have your head. She hated his guts. And a man ain't doing much preaching if some high society woman don't hate his guts. We're too smooth in this generation, people. We're too slick in this generation, brother. Hey, listen. You try to please that Hollywood crowd, you ain't going to do much preaching. Lord have mercy, she got mad at him. And she said, I'll get him if it's a lice. Like old Ed McAfee, Brother Ed said he's in a revival preaching down somewhere out in Kansas one time. And he said he got up and preached about the second night of that revival. And he said he's talking about miniskirts. He said, you women ain't got no business wearing miniskirts. He said, you ought to cover up your nakedness. He said, your dress ought to come down there, cover up your neck. I mean, he was a ranting and a raving. He said he saw this one old woman just swell up like a toad frog. He said she's a deacon's wife. And he said she looked at him like looks could have killed, she'd have murdered him right there. He said she punched her husband. He was one of these little push button model husbands. Yeah. I mean, he didn't do nothing until she pushed the button. And then he just went like this, wherever she told him to go. He just done this, you know. And if you ask him something, he had to pray about it. That means he had to ask her. And she literally bossed her husband around and told him everything to do and not to do. And that's awful wicked. Say amen right there. You say, all these women say, ain't no man tell me what to do. You know why? Because you tell them what to do. Say amen right there. That Bible says that a woman ought to obey her husband just like the church does Jesus. I didn't write it, and you don't like it because you're under conviction. Well, anyway, old Ed said she swelled up. He said when that thing was over, she grabbed him by the hand like that. She said, you're not going back. I ain't going back. She said, when I get home, I'm calling all the women in the church. You come with me right now. And she walked out of there, and she said, when this thing's over, we're going to get a committee together and run him off for having that man come preach this revival. And buddy, she went home, got on the telephone. She called everyone in the church. I ain't going back. You ain't going back. That one woman getting mad at the preacher can store up more hell in the church than 50 liquor stores ever thought about. She said, we'll run him off. Can you believe he talked to me like that? Who does he think he is? Who does he think? Does he think he just had... And buddy, I'll tell you what, she put the pressure on everybody else, and there wasn't a handful there by the time that weekend was over. And Ed said they went out to eat breakfast Saturday after it was over. And he said, that preacher told him, he said, preacher, he said, I hate to tell you this, but he said, you know what happened. He said, that sermon you preached the other night, that deacon's wife got mad at you. He said, they're probably going to run me off for having you here. And he said they deducted $300 out of your love offering for that sermon you preached that night. And I'm sorry, but here it is. And old Ed looked at him and he said, thank you, brother. He said, I didn't know I had one worth $300. He said, I'd give $300 to preach that old hussy again. And you know what? Man's got to make up his mind what he's going to preach. He said, it's not lawful for you to have her. Number two, a man's got to make up his mind who he's going to please. Now, I love y'all. I love you. I love my kids. I love my family. I love the church. I love you. I love everybody in here. I'll bend over backwards to help anybody in here. But when it comes right down to it, I'm going to try to please God. I hope you like it. If you don't, I'm sorry. But I'm going to try. Listen, now everybody knows me knows that. When it comes right down to it, Brother Danny is going to try to do what God wants me to do. And listen, if I do that, I can go home at night and I can say, Lord, I've tried my best to please you, and you can't please everybody. A preacher who tries to please everybody, he'll drive himself crazy and he won't get nothing done. We have to do I do my best to please y'all, but I got to please the Lord first. And you do too. We all do. A man's got to make up his mind who he's going to please. They said, now John, you could be a great preacher. John, you could have a great ministry. If you just chill out here a little bit, don't go in there telling him he's living in sin. Good night, man. Take it easy. You walked right straight in there and done exactly what they told him not to do. He made up his mind who he was going to please. Amen. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers. We're not supposed to be men pleasers. You can't please everybody anyway. Amen. I tell you something, brother. Listen. John didn't win no popularity contest. He didn't win the most well-liked man of the year award in town. He didn't get the best loved preacher in town award. They killed him, as we'll learn here in just a minute. But he made up his mind what he's going to preach. You've heard me tell it, and I won't go into detail. I went up in the woods above my house before my house was there. When I was 19 years old, I was preaching for Brother Bill Long one that night at Hillcrest Free Will Baptist Church in Nebo, and I went down and got down on my knees and I begged God to fill me with His Spirit, and God did. God did something for me that day. I was either 19 or 20, and I think I was 19. And I mean, the Holy Ghost fell on me. I mean, it was all over the place, and the power of God's all over that place. And I made up my mind, Lord, I'm going to do what you want me to do. It don't matter if they like it. It don't matter if they don't like it. It don't matter if they give me money. I never even thought about getting money. Never even thought about getting paid for preaching. Lord, I wanted to preach. I wanted to do something for God. I'm getting money for it. We thought, Lord, we'd pay to get to preach. He was so happy about being saved and right with God. Man got to make up his mind who he's going to please. Well, time went on, and it came to pass sometime later that Herod had a birthday party. Now you remember, he was king, absolute monarch, absolute power over the whole kingdom. The man could have anything he wanted. Unlimited riches. Access to everything in the kingdom. So, had a big birthday party. His birthday party was up. Everybody was laughing. Herod got about half drunk. And when he got about half drunk, Herodias' daughter, which was his stepdaughter, they said, you come in and dance. Little teenage girl. That's how wicked this place had gotten. They brought this little teenage daughter in, and evidently, she had been watching a lot of MTV. She had been watching a lot of those hip-hop videos. She had been watching Britney Spears and Madonna and buddy, she come in there and did some kind of evil, man, half drunk. Think about that. Oh, wicked King Herod. Little teenage girl dancing around. Him half drunk. And he pulled her over and he said, come here, sweetheart. I'll give you anything you want for the half of this kingdom. That's how bad and wicked it was. Somebody said, teacher asked the kids that one time in class, said, what if it had told you, what would you have done? Because John was in prison, you know, at this time. And he said, well, I would have asked for that half of the kingdom that John wasn't in. Said, I'll give you the half of the kingdom. Because see, they had sent and arrested John, made up some charges, and put him in jail. He didn't stay in the nicest Holiday Inn and have a private jet and have millions of dollars coming in. There's a lot of difference in some of them Bible preachers and what we call great preachers today. They stayed in trouble. They stayed in jail, out of jail, in prison, out of prison, for preaching the Word of God. You say, preacher, they really? Listen, there's preachers all around this world in jail tonight. There's one that you've seen on the news, that old boy over in jail for doing nothing but preaching the same thing that I'm preaching tonight. Probably not near as hard as I'm preaching tonight. And he's in prison. We just ain't used to it because we got the protection of our Constitution here in this country, but we are fast losing that protection. If the Lord don't come in another 20 years, they're going to start trying to pass laws against saying certain things behind the pulpit. It's already happening. My son, old John, was in prison. That's where his preaching got him. He didn't get a bigger offer to a greater ministry. He's in prison. That's encouraging to me, man. You know, you don't have people think you're not a success if you don't have a big church and a big crowd and a lot. That's not the way God judges success. Jesus wound up with only 11, and they forsook him and fled. Thank God he didn't have a crowd. Thank God, bigger crowd the better. But that ain't the way God judges a success in the ministry. Son, I'm telling you what, old John was sitting over here in prison. The old greasy hair couldn't take a shower. They probably wasn't giving him nothing to eat. And there's over there having that party, and that little girl come in and dance, and Herod got full of liquor and lust. That was that liquor talking. And he looked at her and he said, I'll give you anything you want up to the half of the kingdom. And that little girl, she's so stupid, she didn't know what to ask for. She already had a brand new Ferrari. She had her room, she had a suite to live in. She was like one of the Hilton sisters. What do you give them? Nikki Hilton, Paris Hilton. I mean, that's what she was like. She went there, and so you know what she done? She went to the worst place she could possibly go, her wicked, wicked mama, and asked her advice. God have mercy on wicked mama who winds up having wicked little girls like that. And I mean, she'd been taught to be a cheerleader and twist her body around since she was that high. And she knew every video because her mama sat there and watched it. And she knew all that stuff. And all she knew how to do was use her body to get what she wanted. That's a little plain, but I believe you can take it tonight. And brother, there old Herod said, yeah. And she said, come here, baby. She said, okay, I've already got all the videos. I've got the nicest cell phone you can buy. I have a brand new car. I have all the clothes. We have millions of dollars in the bank. Okay. She said, I want John Baptist's head in a charger. Put his head on a platter. That's why Baptist preachers preach against dancing. Got one of us a head cut off. Amen. You never heard no Methodist getting his head cut off preaching against dancing. Are you listening, ladies? That's why Lester Roloff and the old preachers used to say a dancing foot and a praying knee don't grow on the same leg. That's what the old preacher said. Amen. Said one time this girl went to a dance and she wanted to dance. That's why you don't let your kids go to them dances at school. You say, well, they'll get mad. Let them get mad! Yeah, so this girl went to dance one time. She's in there dancing. We went to dance. She said, Daddy, I don't have to sin. I can go and it won't hurt me and I can still stand for the Lord and all that. And he said, go over and pick me up one of them coals off that fireplace. And she picked him up one like that. And she said, see, it didn't hurt me. And she put it back down. And he said, now look at your hand. She had black soot on. He said, that's the way it'll do you. It'll suck you every time. You may be able to handle it, but it'll rub off on you. And you know what, buddy? She danced around in there. And you know what? Herod feared John. But because of he had done opened his mouth in front of all them people, he didn't have no choice but to go ahead and call his guard over and said, go get it. And I imagine old Herod was saying, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I didn't mean to do this. God, you know I believe him. God, you know, but he's scared of his wife and scared of the people. God have mercy on a man that ain't got no more backbone, more scared of his wife and his neighbors than he is God. You know what he should have done? He would have said, look, I've changed my mind. I ain't done nothing to that man. Yeah, but you'll sleep in the doghouse. It's better than sleeping with you. You the dog. Hey, that's right. I'm telling you, that's what he should have done. He said, well, she might leave. Well, I don't know about that. But he should have feared God. Thirdly, and I'm through. He's got to make up his mind. He's going to finish his course. They sent. And here come the guy. And here come this guy like this. And buddy, you know what he done? Guy took that sword. He come in like that. Said, John, we've come after you. And John showed how human he was. He had a little doubt and spell there. He did. He's human. I would too, brother. I would too. If you read your Bible, old John said, would you all go over there and ask him, is he really the Christ, or do we look for him? Now, he'd done been out there preaching on the riverbank, the whole Lamb of God, take away sin in the world. He'd done all that. Listen, you get down there where they get ready to cut your head off, it'll make you doubt a little bit. That's human nature. Easy to shout when everybody shouts. Yeah. But you get out there and all hell breaks loose on you. It's easy to have some doubts. Amen. God put that in the Bible so that when it happens to you and me, we know we're in good company. No, John said, is it really him? So the disciples ran over here to Jesus and said, Jesus, did you know John's over in prison and they're getting ready to kill him? They're getting ready to kill him right now. Lord said, I know. Well, ain't you going to go over and visit him, try to comfort him? Nope. He's going to finish his course. But Lord, don't you care? Yeah, I care, but I must be about my Father's business. Lord, but you don't seem very compassionate. He's your cousin. Lord, he wants to know, are you really the Messiah? And the Lord looked at him and said, you go tell him that the blind receive their sight, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dead are raised. And they said, okay, I'll tell him. He said, wait a minute. Tell him, blessed is he that is not offended in me. He said, don't let him bother you. They said, okay. They went back over there and they said, John, he told us to tell you the lame walk, the dead live, and the blind see, and the deaf hear. And don't you be offended. John said, glory to God, that's all I needed. I knew it was him. I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. And he put it down there. He said, cut it off right, make sure you get it good, boys. I don't want to suffer. He said, get it about right there. I'll close my eyes. I'll have a new one for my toes quit wiggling. And buddy, I'll tell you what, they put it down there, raised that big old thing like that off when his head and fell in that bloody mess like that. There held up his hand of that big old man of God with that old grease and blood and his neck cut off right there. And they put it in. Where is my charger? They're back yonder somewhere. Bring me my charger back here, Brother John. And brother, I tell you, they put it in that thing. And they brought it to him. Hurry! One year late every Sunday. Here it come. Brought it to the party. Everybody in there is drunk. Everybody in there is, and the music was playing. Here comes that Baptist head. That's what they wanted. And presented it to her. And she looked at her. That's a mean woman, man. Well, that sound like one of them in West Virginia. My family live. This woman up there got mad at her boyfriend and run over him with a car. And looked back and he's flopping around in the road, put it in reverse and backed over him again. It's a mean woman. I like to wreck trying to hit a squirrel the other day. I don't know, like, I can't stand to hit a squirrel. She brought it to him then. You ain't gonna preach to me no more. Let's hear it now, preacher. She took him in. Somebody said, about that time, his hair turned around and said, it is my lawful for you to have her. Ah! I don't know if that happened or not. If I was writing a movie, that's what would happen. She'd lay down and go to sleep while that trophy is sitting on the mantle and look over and he'd say, it is not lawful for me to have her. If I was making the movie, that would happen. Man, we'd torment the fool out of that old witch. She said, see what happens to people that preach it to me? And like that. Won't have to listen to that big mouth no more. What J. Frank Norris said, the preacher's two biggest enemies are high society women and jealous preachers. And the story closed. And I'm going to tell you tonight, while Herodias screams in hell, John's shouting around the throne because he finished his course. Amen. She got that Baptist head. But the story is not over. He's with the Lord with a brand new head and body. And she's in hell. Man's got to make up his mind. He's going to finish his course. I don't know what my rest of my life holds, y'all. I know one thing. It's been a ride so far. Ever since I've been preaching, it's just been. I mean, it's like the best roller coaster at Disney World on Carowind. I don't know what the rest may hold, but by God's grace, I want to finish my course. I don't want to be a quitter. I don't want my girls to walk around and say, "I remember when Daddy used to preach." That's awful. That's awful. God help us. Let's finish. Our course. Man's got to make up his mind what he's going to preach, who he's going to please, and to finish his course. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed.